Okay, good morning, church. My name is John. I'm always feeling a little bit overwhelmed standing in front of people like this. But the book of Ephesians teaches us how to stand in Christ alone. So I'm good. Yes. So far we've learned the promise in Christ with Johnny, the position in Christ with David, the possibilities in Christ with Johnny last week. Today I'd like to talk about the perspective in Christ. Before we start, I'd like to give you a little quiz. Does anyone know? Can you put the next slide on, Peter? Does anyone know this product? Anyone know? It's about 20 years ago, this product came out. It's a Nestle's baby food. It's called Gerber. And do you know why this product has failed its promotion in Africa around 10 years ago? Apparently, in Africa, it's a common place to feature on the packaging a picture of what is contained in the product. By placing cute baby image on its jars, Gerber was misleading African consumers into thinking that products was made from babies, babies' heart. It's actually a true story, true failing marketing, true failing story. When American marketers created this image, of course their own perspective reflected, but they failed to do some research, regional research, and understand the certain market's cultural background. Now I want to ask you another question. What is your worldview? As we are quite international here, we might have a surely different perspective in life. Perspective is your point of view. It's the lens that you see the world through and determines how you view yourself and others and everything else around you. I'd like to show you this fruit tree diagram to see where your worldview and your mindset actually stem from. It's actually under the earth. Actually, it's from roots and soil. Your worldview is shaped by culture, heritage, physical traits, and personal experiences. Therefore, different perspectives can express a different approach to a well-known event or issue. Based on this diagram, we can imagine Paul's perspective of Jesus. Paul was a Greek-speaking Jew born in Tarsus, one of the most influential cities. Peter, can you put next slide, please? He was born in Tarsus, one of the most influential cities of Roman Empire. Paul was a Pharisee and the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, yet at the same time a native Hellenist and a Roman citizen. And combining himself, so to speak, he had the three great nationalities of the ancient world. He received a learned Jewish education at Jerusalem in the school of Gamaliel, and was endowed with all natural qualifications for the universal apostleship. He was very powerful and religious and upright and very influential and very judgmental at the same time. As a privileged Jew, he probably looked down the Greek and the Romans very spiritually because they are Gentiles. And also they worshipped idols. As a fluent Greek speaker and a Roman citizen, he was probably very boastful and arrogant to his own people. And he was very much in control and of his world, he was everything. No one can possibly unknow him. We know from the story in the book of Acts that Paul was behind the killing Stephen with the stones. To Paul, Jesus and his followers was just a cult, as he was a devoted Pharisee, and he practiced 613 laws perfectly. He viewed Jesus as just a blasphemy against his law. And he was very eager to persecute Jesus' followers and even went to Damascus to catch them. But what happened on the way to Damascus? This is a very famous painting drawn by Caravaggio, Italian. He fell off from the horse when a light from the heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice of Jesus. Then after his world turned upside down, we can see Paul's confession in Philippians. He said, I know it's a very small printing, so I'll read it. Sorry about that. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is of through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. In fact, just he has fallen from his horse. He fell from being a prominent Jewish person to an apostle to the Gentiles. Then what made him to go turn around, and what truth he realized about Jesus? We can see Philippians chapter 2 to 6 to 11. He wrote about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and earth and under the earth, that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God Father. Paul believed that Jesus was a cult religious leader, and from his point of view, he could never accept Jesus as the Son of God, as well as the rumors about his resurrection, because he was waiting for the strong and powerful Messiah to come to defeat the Roman Empire, not that weak human who died on the cross as a criminal. Just as Paul fell off his horse, he was also forced to fall off from his own pride, his own pretensions, his own strongholds, so that he could see who Jesus truly was. In Philippians chapter 4, we can see now he's a new perspective in Christ. Paul wrote that he learned one of the most vital secrets to human living, the ability to embrace life, whether in terms of plenty or times of want. He understands the necessity of focusing one's heart and mind on Christ rather than the things in the world, including money, power, control, and fame, and fortune. You know, he used to think that he can do everything by his own knowledge of knowing God, by his ability, by his skills. But now he confessed that he can do everything. He can do everything through Jesus Christ, who gives him strength. Further, Paul gives us a firm instruction in verses 22-24 that you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. So far we've examined how Paul's perspective on Jesus changed. Now it's time to analyze our own soil and root so as to see how we see Jesus in our heart. Let me ask you a few questions. Which country is you born in? We've done the interviews this morning, so which city and which town you were brought up in? Who brought you up? What was their value like? What kind of families do you have? What was your education? What kind of experiences that you had? All these categories could have been affected your former way of life. Some of categories may have helped you to meet Jesus early on, but some of categories may have blocked you to see Jesus. As for me, before I became Christian in 2012, my worldview was very mixed with all kinds of things. I was born in Seoul, South Korea. My parents claimed to be Buddhist, but they were strong Confucian, hardworking, believed in themselves, believed in karma, concentrated on the kids' education for their success, and provided everything to be successful in a very competitive society. Even though South Korea is one of the biggest Christian countries now, but its cultural basis is Buddhism and also Confucianism, mixture with a little bit of shamanism. So reading face and reading palm lines, and by analyzing your birthday and time, and some people think that you could foresee your future. Yes, I was very fascinated by all this kind of stuff. I loved Eastern philosophies, and I practiced Tibetan Buddhism till 2010. And also, I believed in UFOs. And I was very engaged with the conspiracy theory as well. I was so busy, you know, I was so busy to catch up all these things to fulfill my curiosity. Naturally, my fruit became very anti-Christian due to my cultural background and experiences I had. Like Gerber baby food scared African consumer. Whenever I heard the name of Jesus, I was really resistant without knowing the truth. I was very critical of my Christian friend inviting me to the church. In fact, I didn't like that, like the weak images of Jesus. And also, it sounded so ridiculous that he was resurrected somehow. Without tasting the true contents of Jesus, my perspective of Jesus was very negative and very unreal. If Jesus looked like one of the statues, the Babylon statues, looking formidable, strong, shiny, tall, it would have been a lot easier for me to believe in him as a strong savior for the world. But having said the Babylon statue, do you remember the Daniel's interpretation of King Babylon's dream? And how that big statue implied that many strong nations of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome were going to be demolished after a rock of Jesus throw at it. As we all know that all those empires disappeared in history, but we are living in 2021 AD. AD means Anno Domini. It means, it's Latin, but it means in the year of Christ for 2021 years.
Hallelujah.
Since the kingdom of Christ opposes and overcomes the kingdom of Satan, however, Satan still attempts to set up a rival country, rival kingdom, seizing our mind away from God by using money, power, control, fame, and fortune, now media, beauty, pop culture, and so on. Their main purpose is to keep us away from God's presence and let us build our own kingdom. For example, if you read in Genesis, Cain went away from the presence of God and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And he was then building a city and named it after his son Enoch. Then later he followed the Cain's way, and they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves." Here, I'd like to analyze the soil and roots of Cain. We can go back to Adam's genealogy here. We can see that two lineages, that one towards worldly kingdom on earth, one towards Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the creation, Satan has been the father of lies. With the lie in the Garden of Eden, Satan led Eve and Adam to become like God. And their first son, Cain, killed his brother, Abel, because he was jealous. Lying is Satan's primary weapon against us all. He uses this tactic to confuse us and leave us hopeless and twist God's word. You know why? Because Satan wants us to, he wants to pull out from God's presence, and he will lead us to build our own kingdom. Therefore, Jesus pointed out where the nature of sin came from. And he rebuked the teachers of law and the Pharisees in John 8:44. He said, "You belong to the father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him." When Jesus speaks about the problems of sin, he did not condemn immorality or wrongdoings harshly. He condemned strongly the nature of sin, the nature of self-realization, which leads us to say, "I am my own king. I have my own way. Therefore, I judge, I rule, and I punish." Even if you claim to have a good Christian background, but you don't put Jesus at your center of your life, or if you still command your life through your own judgmental decision, like Paul, we may fall into false pride, unjust anger, and bitter envy, and malicious hatred, where we then begin to judge and punish people. But when Jesus is calling your name, your core trembles and breaks all the structures that you've learned and you've built for years. Let's see the PPT, that the strongholds which built for generations were broken, and the pretensions that Paul had it for years was fallen. Also, when Jesus called my name, he surely broke my strongholds and pretensions, and it was very painful, I can tell you that, as my actual bone was also broken as well during my skiing accident. And all my towers I tried to build up collapsed. Then God led me to Chinese Korean church, where I was not used to their culture and customs, but God extended my vision to North Korea through knowing them. Jesus descended to the lower place. He destroyed all the worldly kingdom and conquered the death. Whoever accepts Jesus as a Lord in our heart, he will destroy all our towers, all our statues in our mindset, and Most importantly, he set us free from the bondage that we had in our soil and roots for generations. When Jesus is king in your heart, there will be no more I, me, myself, mine only. But our territories and our boundaries will extend to the end of the earth. Here, can I call someone up here who is a very different to me? Emma, please come. I'll do the little interviews. There's so many interviews today I didn't know about. So seemingly we are very different, aren't we? And so I'll do a little quick question because we have the same question. So you were born in?
In Tooting.
Okay, you were brought up. Who brought you up?
My parents in the road over there.
Okay. What value they taught you?
I think my.
I'm not very good on these.
Go on then.
Okay. No, it's just if I was. No.
Okay. My father, I think you'd loosely call an atheist. My mother, loosely an agnostic. I think they just generally didn't really have any opinions on any sort of religion. And so, yeah.
Okay, keep it short.
Sorry.
What was your education like? Was it very English or?
Yeah, so I went to Christchurch Infants and Juniors. I went to Coon Girls School. I'm a qualified primary school teacher and I'm a teacher of the deaf.
Okay, so when did you meet Jesus?
In 1994, I was sixth form at Coon Girls.
Okay, long time ago. But still that she sounded like very English, right? I am very South Korean, you know? But somehow I want to ask you a very important question. Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Oh, that's something, you know, something common that I have, you know, Jesus is my King and... He became my Savior and Lord. Okay, so because I know that you're learning Koreans at the moment, I want to, because Jesus likes to hear all the tongues acknowledging that Jesus is a king. Jesus is a king. I'm saying in English. Can you say Jesus in king in Korean?
Nae wangun yesunimimda.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, we have the same perspective at the core, but so that now we can grow and mature gradually as a part of Jesus' body. Me and Emma, you belongs to the part of Jesus' body. When you accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior, it does not mean that we become the kinder person or more moral person or better person, but we become a new being in Christ. In this world, I have a South Korean citizenship. Emma has a British citizenship. But we also have the same citizenship from heaven.
Amen.
As the Holy Spirit renews us every day, we become mature each day. It applies the same to the church, which renews itself each day as Jesus is calling many lost souls to his house for us to love. Even though we are still struggling due to our sinful nature from our soil and roots, nevertheless, Paul said to us, "Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, you are under grace." We got to remember that every day, every day, every day. Therefore, let's not feeling so guilty about what we've done or who we were yesterday. As God used Paul's shameful past and his brilliant background to gain the Gentiles' heart, God will use our broken stories and past strongholds and strength or even traumatizing experience to win over worldly people. Let's remember this. Oh, yeah? Okay? Count yourself. And next, let's see the Paul's instruction that how to put off our old habits together. I'll read it. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Get rid of all your bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now let's see Paul's to-do list. I really pray that Holy Spirit unites us as one so that we can practice this beautiful act together. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You keep us for works of service so that body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Speak the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by supporting ligament, grows, build itself up in love as part does it work. Finally, church, on our own, we cannot build our life. I need you, everybody, and you need me. We all need the Jesus to build our life upon that firm foundation. We all saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, not by who we are or not by what we've done. To grow and mature in Christ, we need to let down our strongholds and pretensions. Wherever we stand in the world, let's not copy the worldly ways of standing rich, standing tall, standing smart, and standing attractive, beautiful, shiny. We should not mislead church to the world like that. Let's wear the new clothes given by Jesus Christ so that everybody can see the true image that we have Jesus in our heart. But most importantly, we need to have the Jesus fragrance. For those who cannot see, who cannot hear, so they can smell the bread of life from us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending your loving Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is our true King who reigns forever. Jesus, you are the highest name above every other name. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and let us see vividly the kingdom of Jesus has built with his precious blood. Holy Spirit, help us not to be fallen into the worldly temptation and help us not to build our own kingdom on this earth. And let church to help each other to hold tight in Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.